It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. It's time for one of our favorite segments that you haven't heard in a very long time. It's time for an episode of What's Grinding Tony's Gears? You used to love this.
Did I?
You did.
I mean, it's just been gone for so long.
I think you were just really fond of that phrasing, which I absolutely stole from Family Guy, but whatever. I'm sorry, was that TMI?
No, that's a common phrase, you know.
Yes. You missed it there. That's what grinds my gears. I'm sorry, was that TMI?
No,
you're still not. I am annoyed when people ask if something is TMI.
Oh.
For a second, I was like, he's really giving me great yes anding here. And then I'm like, no, he just genuinely isn't catching it.
Nope, didn't get it.
No, I have multiple people in my life recently who have been doing this. And it's really annoying the shit out of me for so many reasons. First of all, I don't even think that's a thing we say anymore. I don't think TMI is a thing anymore. You sound weird. But also, what? All right. I want sometimes you save this for me. Sometimes you enlighten me into a whole new world of understanding how people work, as shocking as it is. Why would somebody say that? It's not even what they'll say something and then they'll say TMI after they've said it. Why would someone do that?
Well, I presume because it occurs to them. I mean, there might be many reasons. The ostensible reason, let's just put it that way, whether or not, because the ostensible reason is because they've suddenly realized when it's too late that maybe they've said something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable because it's too much information, it's too personal, it's too whatever. I suppose it's possible that some people do it like they don't care if it's made you uncomfortable or whatever. They're just saying it because that's what you're supposed to say after
joke attached to it. Although I think when that happens, the joke's only supposed to work if the other person like visibly freaks out and you're like, was that TMI?
Right. But I mean,
and
I think
that's not what I'm seeing.
There is a thing where, you know, where a person does something that they know will probably or likely make someone uncomfortable or offend them or whatever. And so they'll say kind of an obligatory, after they say it, they'll have a kind of an obligatory apology, not because they're really sorry, but because that's, you know, I don't know, to cover their backsides or whatever. But yeah. I think there are some people who probably say it because they realize too late after it's said that, oh my gosh, that was probably inappropriate for me to say. And I want this person to know that I'm sensitive to how they feel about it. So I'm going to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of the people in my life that do it are trolling.
Okay,
but here's the deal. First of all, it doesn't ever happen with strangers or acquaintances. It's only people who like know me. So my first thought is, do you think it's even possible that I, Tony Parsons, am bothered by something that you said and won't let you know? Because the answer to that is no. Also, do you think the odds are that you could really say much of anything that would push me too far on that scale? And here's the here's why it drives me crazy, because the people who use it in two circumstances. They have two visions of what TMI is. One is something relates to bodily function, pooping or peeing, maybe puking, but usually pooping or peeing. We all do that. I mean, whatever. And the other one is if it involves sex. And I'm like, okay, so when you said something that made it clear, as if I didn't already know, that you also poop like a person would, you're like, TMI? But the times when, like, you detailed to me terrible, horrific things that happened in your life that were genuinely chilling, at no point were you like, TMI? I'm like, you've said things that are objectively more personal and intimate and disturbing. And yet this is the one. Yeah. So I pee. Oh no, TMI. So that drives me crazy.
Right. But I mean, our, our culture, our culture treats those things differently. So I think that our culture does discourage people from sharing the type of traumatic details that you're talking about, but it discourages them in a different way than it discourages scatological or sexual stuff. Those are two different categories of taboo, for lack of a better term. And I think it's fairly common in people's experience to have friends with whom they can tell all the details about some kind of trauma or whatever, but they don't typically talk about their toilet habits or or sometimes even their sexual habits. Now, you're the exception, that's fine, but I think you're probably unusual in their social experience. And so it's, you know, it's just a matter of habit for them when they broach this topic. For most of society, this is not a topic that you're allowed to talk about. And so they just sort of reflexively say what they say, not really taking into account that, oh, I'm talking to Tony, so of course it's not going to bother him.
All right. Well, I have a couple things to say about this. One, it's still a comedy podcast, dude. Come on, work with me here. Two, that only works if they haven't done it 1,000 times before with me. Like, this isn't coming up because this is the first time people have mentioned sexual or scatological things. Although in some cases, every single time they say this. But, okay, let's get serious with it. It makes me uncomfortable when they say TMI.
Mm.
I am not uncomfortable until they say that. Okay. They said a thing and it's about poop, whatever. And then they're like, TMI. And then I'm suddenly like, oh, are you uncomfortable? Is that what you're saying? Then I feel weird. Or are you saying you think I should be uncomfortable? In which now I feel weird if I'm not uncomfortable. So it's just, and it does. I mean, I know, I guess it's, people still use it to a degree, but it feels like somebody unironically using not at the end of a sentence to me. I'm like, who the fuck says this? And yeah.
Again, it might just be a modern, you know, just a...
not a modern, a throwback.
It's filling in for, you know, pardon me for talking openly about something that our culture isn't usually okay with us talking openly about, again, which has nothing to do with you. No. I mean, it has to, and I don't think it really has to do with them particularly. I mean, I think what the answer they're expecting is, oh no, of course not, or whatever. And just goes on, because it's just a little polite societal check to make sure everything's okay. Not really taking into account who you are or what your characteristics are, or it probably doesn't even take into account them feeling uncomfortable. It's just a societal habit. You don't talk about certain things. And then if you do broach certain topics, you make some gesture to show the person that you are aware that you've just broached a usually uncomfortable topic. So you say your little bit and they say their little bit, and then you go on.
All right. I'll do it from there. Now we're going to start over now with a new open, because that tanked hard. So, 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. I got bad news for you all, unless you're Craig. Craig has shot up a healthy lead as my number one listener. In fact,
no, he sent you money.
Genuinely thinking of replacing you with him. No, he didn't send me money. That's still the quickest way to get to my heart. No. As you recall, he bought my book for free. And he told me he was about a third of the way and that he was liking it. Then he tweets his own tweet in which he talks about being on vacation and having a lovely time at the beach with a lovely book to read. And he tweets a picture from his perspective of being on the beach. And he's got a reader. It's a Kubo device. And my book's on it. And I can see the words. I know those are my words. And he tagged me and mentioned the book in it. It was amazing. And then he finished it and also really liked it. Good. So y'all got a lot of catching up. So much. William's just hanging on by a thread because he has given me superfluous levels of kudos for my book in the past. But you know, superfluous. What have you done for me lately is what I'm going to say here. So keep it in mind.
I messed up your previous thing.
We don't talk about reason. That. That didn't happen. That never happened.
Still, nope. It's staying with me.
You know what really grinds
my gears? Anxiety about it.
When William screws up the opening.
I still don't. What was I supposed to do? I feel like I just didn't even.
Okay. Did you ever watch the old Carson episodes of The Tonight Show?
Yeah, Carson, when I was growing up, watched Carson all the time.
I can't believe it's taken this many years to get here. You're Ed McMahon.
Yeah, I know that. I've said that before.
What would Ed McMahon say? What would Ed McMahon say?
I don't know. I'm sitting here completely baffled. What do
you
mean
you don't know? He would say, ha, ha, you are correct, sir. And occasionally he'd say, welcome to Star Search. And that's
I went right from doing homework and trying to understand how to do proper crisis intervention to this.
I'm going to have to set up a separate therapy appointment for how poorly you handled that bit.
I don't even know. See, I didn't even notice it was a bit. It's like, how am I missing all this?
It's always a bit. It's always a bit with me. When in doubt, you just say, or say something about a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnalls' porch. I mean, seriously, Ed McMahon only had like 3 lines. So just write them down on cards and draw one at random. It's always good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a good podcast. Was that you trying to do one? It almost sounded like it. It sounded a little like Ed McMahon. Although, if memory serves, Ed McMahon never rolled his eyes at Carson like you just did.
They just don't show him doing that. He's doing it off every camera.
Every time
all
there's a commercial break, he's like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, that's my problem is the camera's on me all the time. If it was only on me, when I was could do my
damn
Ed McMahon shtick.
Not everything is weird and or wild. God damn. I would love that. The commercial breaks are just Ed just ripping into Johnny so that he can get back to his second banana face in between.
I told you not to tell that joke, Johnny.
Yes. God, we've been through this. Do it. How this are way. You the star? How is he the star?
Get it right. I'm sorry, Ed. I'm sorry.
Oh, I love this idea. I want to make this show that's just the behind-the-scenes stuff. We should do this. This could be good. Although I might have to play Ed McMahon in that because I'm not sure you could get pissed off enough.
Perhaps not.
Also, I don't know why, but I feel like you'd do a better Carson impression.
Hard to say.
I don't know what that is. I get that vibe.
Hard to say.
I've always thought of myself a little bit as Ed McMahon.
Why is that?
I don't know. He was one of the few people I knew who was like famous and built like me. I was either going to be Ed McMahon or like Dom DeLuise or something.
I see.
I was into the idea of being Dom DeLuise for a while.
But, really?
Because he got to hang out with a lot of cool people. Well, people who at that age I thought were cool. From what I gather now, the particular decades when I was aware of them, it was an absolute train wreck to hang out with Burt Reynolds during that time.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast where every option is standard. We have no aftermarket parts. This is all, it was straight out of the box like this. And you can too. I'm Tony.
And I'm Ed McMahon, and this is episode 592.
Welcome to Star Search.
Show them what you got, Tony. We'll see if we make it back next week.
If you're just joining us, welcome. This is pretty much the show. We have a hat that's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And all you wonderful people out there, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with emails, and we get them from the hat. They forward them to, it forwards them to us. We forwards them to whatever, you know. And then we read them, and then we talk about them, and that's it. Except when we talk about other stuff. But I don't know if we're going to have as much to talk about, because this is an early recording, so it actually has only been like 3 or 4 days since our last recording.
No.
So, how's your 3 or 4 days been, William?
Okay, I'm just catching up here. You know, it's mostly just been school. Like I was just saying a second ago, that one of the classes I'm taking is on crisis intervention. So a lot of the reading is pretty heavy in terms of, you know, the topic. So I didn't think it was affecting me, but I have to say, just coming right off of that and coming into this, I am having a little difficulty shifting gears. I don't usually have that much problem. I can stop whatever I'm doing and start doing this, but there's a lot of ideas sort of distracting me right now about it. Because it's a, you know, crisis, you know, right now the chapter I'm reading is about like working suicide hotlines and stuff.
So, oh,
I'm a little trouble getting
out as of a few days ago, the suicide hotline has changed.
Well, national suicide hotline.
Yes. Yeah. Is now 988, I believe.
Or 998,
988. Oh, crap.
We're already
people screwed. Don't get your suicide hotline info from us. We barely remember who Ed McMahon is. Let's just not even. But the point, it has switched to a very handy, easy to remember 3-digit code.
I do remember, though, when I first saw that, thinking, Why can't it just be all the same number? Wouldn't that be a lot easier than just remembering it's two numbers, two of one of the other? Wait, and which is it?
I always find it interesting because I think in America they're concerned about accidentally dialing, because like in the UK the emergency number is 999, and I think we do 911 to make it different, which can backfire because in some companies, you need to type 9 to get an outside line, and then if for some reason you have to type long distance with 1 and then hit it one too many times, you accidentally call 911, as I did several times at my old job, such that they literally programmed all the phones so that dialing 911 sent it to the security office instead, just in case. It would switch over if the security wasn't there, but yeah.
But anyway, we
look it up. It's great.
We've been watching. Man, you're gonna hate me for saying this. We've been watching
Ghost Rider,
History Channel show, The Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah, Abby.
Now, what is that show exactly?
Okay, so
Because I have seen this mentioned before.
Well, there's a ranch in northern Utah. And it's pretty much exactly what you'd expect. It's just a ranch in northern Utah. But
with a fucked up name.
It's supposed to, skinwalkers. Are you not familiar with skinwalkers in Native American?
I still think it's a fucked up name for a ranch.
Well, there's a reservation sort of reservation sort of surrounds the place. So that, you know, the name comes from beliefs of the local indigenous people. And it, you know, the story is that the Utes and the Navajo were sort of in some kind of conflict with one another, and the Navajo cursed that land to be, you know, a place where that if anyone, whoever lived there, whoever tried to make any use of the land would be troubled by skinwalkers. So I mean, that's where the name came from. I mean, it wasn't just someone came and just made that name up. It was, there was the belief in the area that the place was cursed with a skinwalker curse. And there are people who have spent time on the ranch, either because they owned it or they worked on it, or they were native people who were passing through or whatever, who believe they've seen skinwalkers there.
Yeah, but somebody didn't believe it enough that they decided it was a place to set up a ranch, but then either also believed it enough or spat in the face of the belief enough that they called it Skinwalker Ranch.
You know, I mean, Iowa comes from Native American word, and there's lots of places around here that come from Native American names and words. I mean, sometimes these things are just
super scary curse shit. Like, I would also be freaked out if you named your place Wendigo Ranch.
Oh, well, I guess.
You know, it's, or you know, Jason Voorhees Ranch. Also not good.
Anyway, so.
But possible episode title.
anyway.
Terrifying place to raise your animals, and also a really gross salad dressing.
So it's supposed to be, or, I mean, you know, usually when it's talked about online or in the popular culture or whatever, it's supposed to be just a place where virtually any kind of paranormal activity can happen and has been observed to happen. Mm-hmm. But lately, it more emphasizes UFO activity and cattle mutilations and things of that nature. So what this show does...
Stop putting cattle there.
It's in its third season, and the angle this show takes is, well, we're going to get this one guy, his name's... I wish I could remember his last name, Travis, because he's an astrophysicist. He's worked for NASA and he's been in other shows and stuff. I mean, he's a, you know, a competent and well-known scientist, and a few other people to the ranch to see, you know, is anything really happening there, and how can we document it? How can we measure it? What kind of experiments can we do to find out what's going on? So from the very beginning, this show has this guy and a whole bunch of other people, you know, they're constantly taking radio frequency measurements and radiation measurements and doing all this, the, you know, actual scientific measurements, and often finding RF radiation is elevated, and every once in a while ionizing radiation is elevated in places where it doesn't seem like that should be happening. Although for me as a viewer, all I can think is that really how these instruments work? And I mean, what really is a baseline? Could I go to my farm with these instruments and have crazy readings the same? I don't really know. I mean, this scientist presumably knows, you know, what these instruments are supposed to do and what they're supposed to read, but sometimes I'm not sure. But they do other things, and they have seen aerial objects that they can't identify. I mean, you know, on camera, you, the viewer, can see them too. And they don't look like airplanes. They don't move like airplanes. So they're obviously unidentified aerial phenomena. But I mean, that that's never really impressed me. I mean, I for years have kind of kept up with UFO sightings and stuff. The vast majority of them are clearly someone had was having some kind of psychotic episode. But sometimes you'll see a report where it's someone who's flying a plane and there was a radar contact and everything, and they can't tell what it is. So these things have been going on for a long time, but nothing about them ever says, oh, this is aliens. You know, they just don't know what it is. And there are actually a lot of possibilities for what it could be. So the show does have a lot of unidentified aerial phenomena, like on camera, that you can see yourself and like, oh, well, they're experiencing that for sure.
Is this the new thing we say instead of UFO, we say UAP?
Well, so, you know, the military released some footage of some UAPs like last year that were on, you know, they were captured by fighter jets and everything. I mean, you can see them moving. There's scopes on them that look for things like that. They're being looked at through heat sensitive scopes and things. So you see this thing flying, but there's no exhaust. There's just a lot of data on these things that they're there. That's a fact. They're moving in this way at this altitude and all this stuff, and they're maneuvering in this way. Those are facts, but we can't get any other facts on them about what their propulsion is or anything else. And so the reason they call them unidentified flying objects, that always was supposed to mean that this was a thing that you observed it and it looked like it was controlled flight. It looked like it was a vehicle, or, you know, you could tell that. They changed it to unidentified aerial phenomena because they're no longer, you know, being able to see that this thing's not, that there's no exhaust or anything. They don't know if it's flying or, you know, if it's under controlled flight or if it's a, they don't know what it is. Unidentified aerial phenomena is emphasizes more how unknown it is. UFO suggested too much that it was a vehicle and that it was flying like a normal, like a vehicle. You could tell it was a flying vehicle and you just didn't know who it was from. So they've broadened the understanding and definition to, well, it's aerial. It's in the air, but we don't know if it's flying. We don't know if it's controlled flight. We don't know if it's, maybe it's some
object.
Species or something we've never seen, or maybe it's some kind of, you know, they're just admitting more ignorance about it by calling it a UAP. And that's what's going on here. A lot of these things you see on the show, sometimes they don't seem actually to be flying. They'll show up, it'll be a bright thing in the sky that's clearly, you know, they can take a picture of it. It's there, but it's not a plane or anything like that. And then it'll just
the shadow of a stylized bat in it.
So yeah, there's a lot of things like that. And also when they talk about the cattle mutilations that have happened in the past, sometimes the description of them is quite bizarre, where like
to the boring mundane cattle mutilations.
Yeah. Because a cow can be mutilated in a lot of ways. I mean, you know,
I know
a wolf can attack it or whatever. These mutilations were clearly not done that way. Sometimes like 40% of the thing animal will be gone, and the person just saw that animal alive an hour ago, and there's no blood around it.
I was hungry. What can I say?
Or specific organs will be surgically removed somehow. Like, and again, no blood around. So
when you sell it on the black market, some people can't tell the difference, and you still make the money. Like, you know, oh no, it's a human liver. It's fine. Trust me.
Where did I read? Somewhere I read recently that some piece of fiction, and this was a long time ago, it was a story about alien tourists to Earth, you know, and they'd come to Earth, but they'd try to, you know, they wouldn't want their presence to be known or whatever. But alien tourists, much like human tourists, often are interested in weird souvenirs. And that's what cattle mutilations were.
I went to Earth and all I got was this lousy cow kidney.
Yeah, like that. I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, so Abby really likes this show. She thinks it's great. And the way they edit it together and stuff, it is pretty entertaining. As far as I'm concerned, I like watching it with Abby because it's really fun to watch it with her. I don't think I'd watch it without her, because I don't, UFO phenomena has just never, I mean, I'm interested that there are unidentified aerial objects that we can't.
We got a new one, a UAO.
That are truly documented. You know, you can maybe even see them yourself, like in the show. These things are really happening. It's not like a ghost sighting where nobody saw it except this one or two people or whatever. No, these are things that have been measured, have been observed, and not as many as people think. I mean, of all of the UFO and abduction cases I've ever read, probably 90% of them are clearly, at the very least, they're not verifiable. But a tiny number, yeah, there's something really there. What is it? I don't know. And the last thing I'm going to think it is aliens. I'm going to think that there's, it's one of the problems with a lot of these phenomena is a lot of people, especially people who are pilots and experts, think they can accurately judge how far away a thing is or how fast it's moving. And you can't, you just can't. I mean, unless you've got a scope on it or something. And most of the time people are just guessing.
The pilot, I can, but I choose not to.
How far away is it? How fast is it going? Well, you don't, If a pilot was honest, they'd say, well, I can only guess based on these things, but I really don't know. And so, you know, I've got a lot of skepticism about these things, even though I can acknowledge, okay, well, that happened. I mean, I'm looking at it just like they are. I see it, but I'm not going to jump to any conclusions about what it means. And a lot of the lore around Skywalker Ranch from
Skinwalker Ranch.
Did I say Skywalker?
Yes, the lore around Skywalker Lands Ranch is very different and involves a lot more Jar Jar Binks
and moisture evaporators. But anyway, yeah, Skinwalker Ranch.
Blue milk.
The lore behind it, and this comes from
power converters. You
know, this comes from native people and whatever is it there, and researchers. For a while before these people owned it, there was this billionaire who was involved in aerospace, who owned it, and he and the government was involved with stuff that he was doing. And they have crazy stories. And they talked to one of the military guys, one of the colonels that worked there. And he shared some of his crazy and wild experiences. And he said that he thought there was a portal somewhere, or portals in relation to the ranch. And this
and
is
they made a TV show out of it called The Outer Range.
And this is something that the native people say, oh yeah, there's a portal. That's part of our beliefs, that there's a portal.
You're going to get that in this kind of climate. I mean, the humidity around here, you're going to get portals. Like, you can spray every summer, you're still going to get portals.
But I mean, people claim they've seen these portals open up and things come out of them, which again,
why else are you going to have a portal?
I don't know what else.
Dumb to have a portal nothing ever came out of.
But
I mean, by that token, I got a portal right here. This is a portal.
So that's what Skinwalker Ranch is about. Again, I think there's supposed to have been poltergeist activity there and all this other stuff. Like, literally any kind of paranormal experience you've ever heard of has been had there, but they mostly focus on
multi-level marketing.
They mostly focus on alien oriented or extra dimensional portal type stuff. And it's related to the high RF and radiation readings that they often get. And also all kinds of other weird things happening, like batteries will drain really quickly, or someone will show up with a piece of equipment to do an experiment and that piece of equipment will just fritz out. Or the latest one was they think that there's some kind of phenomena like a mile off of the surface of the ranch. So they had this
airplane. So it's aerial. Is it identified?
They had this airplane do this sweep, you know, over it to sort of get data on it. And there's a control center at the ranch with a screen that has, you know, with planes are going over, and they've got their, I forget what they call that thing that
laser tag
transponds out their position. You can see the planes and whatnot going over. Well, this plane had its transponder on, but it wasn't showing up on the screen. And they thought that was really weird. And it turns out that the reason they couldn't see it on the screen was because the equipment was registering the plane as being at an altitude that was actually below the ground.
Oh, I thought they had their thumb over the light.
No. But I mean, as soon as the plane was outside of that general area that they thought was anomalous, it monitored perfectly. But as soon as it got into the so-called anomalous range,
monotonous,
it suddenly was
do, 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 do.
It suddenly was sending out a signal like it was flying underneath the ground, which of course didn't register on their screens, because why would it? So yeah, I mean, there's weird things, but of course, you know,
just bums me out so bad.
Why?
Because it's like when you see your friend destroying their life with drink or gambling. So, like, you would deny it up and down, but you are like a year at most from unironically watching ghost hunting shows. Like, this is such, you had Oak Island and now you got this. The jump between Oak Island and this is no bigger than the jump between this,
Tony,
and bro, did you just touch my shoulder, bro? Oh my God, did you touch my shoulder, bro? You have to tell me.
But what you're missing though is that I've been watching this type of thing since I was really young. I watched In Search Of that Leonard Nimoy narrated, and that's how I know about.
We all watched it when we were little.
Well, but I've watched stuff like this the whole time. It's not really impacted whether or not I believe in it. You know, it's interesting. That's an interesting thing too, because some people complain about History Channel, you know, putting all this terrible stuff out there that people are going to believe. But someone did some research on that, and they found out that on the internet, it generates far more sites where people are discussing what they see on the show and criticizing it and debunking it and things like that, than it creates sites of people getting more credulous or whatever. I thought that was interesting.
You mark it here, folks. Longtime hatters, pay attention. This is where Oak Island.
Stop it.
Skin Talker Bunch. And next thing you know, Celebrity Paranormal Hunt or whatever it is.
If that was going to happen, it would happen long before now. I'm 53 years old and I've never shot. In fact, I've always liked this kind of thing because I find it really entertaining. I find stuff about the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and all that stuff really entertaining. It never convinces me that it's real.
And this is officially evidence that I'm now going to have to submit when you finally create the compound and get the followers. Oh man. No, I'm not worried you're going to start a weird UFO cult. I'm worried that your tastes in television are going to get worse and worse and worse. That's what I'm saying. I'm not worried you're going to believe in ghosts. I'm just worried you're going to watch those shitty ghost hunting shows. And it will hurt you as a person.
I do watch those sometimes.
Ah, no, it's already happened!
I've seen a few. I've talked about them. I've talked about how entertaining they can be. And then when they'll have some footage where they think something moved or a door opened or a chair moved, it's like so fake. I mean, they're totally.
I actually just today was watching somebody who did an old review of literally Celebrity Paranormal Hunt or whatever that was in the early aughts when like celebrity reality TV was through the roof, and they had everybody on there, and it was so ridiculous.
I like
people I would not have expected to go on there. Ernie Hudson, David Carradine, Gilbert Gottfried. It was insane. Looked pretty funny though.
I like, I think it's actually, it's probably the same. I mean, I like myth and folklore for the same sort of the same reasons, because it's, these are stories that are either probably or definitely not true, but they're not told. But the people who tell them think they're true. And that's fascinating to me, because that means it's not fiction, right? Fiction is something you're crafting as you're making it up. But if you're telling something that you think is true, but it's not true, that's kind of in this weird.
It also very accurately describes the modern election cycle, which I also don't want to be involved with.
Yeah, I just find it so fascinating.
When we get to the next presidential election, I may just start binging UFO TV shows. So keep a list of these names. I may switch over to that at the time to save myself.
I asked my family if they were watching it, because they watch Oak Island. And Oak Island is a very different kind of thing. I think. And I started liking Oak Island just for the stuff they were finding. I think it's fascinating how Oak Island was used as a makeshift shipyard and whatever, probably for 300 years, and all, and a bunch of different countries visited. It's so cool. Far more interesting to me than whether or not there's some ridiculous treasure there. But this is a whole different thing, because they're making claims of certain phenomena, and then they're taking measurements that do seem like the kind of thing you wouldn't find anywhere. I don't know what the explanation is. I presume there is one, and I'm perfectly happy to go with that presumption, but it's pretty entertaining to watch. The people who are on it are pretty funny. I mean, not intentionally, not intentionally funny, but they're pretty funny. We like watching it. But some members of my family do watch it, and I think one person takes it pretty seriously.
And when they disappear, it's going to be rough. Your wife's also been playing No Man's Sky a fair bit.
But she's just been building.
Had she played it? She'd played it before.
But not like this. It didn't have all this stuff.
Yeah. No, it's gone through some major upgrades since I last played it. I've had the urge to go back and start again.
Yeah. But there's a mode where you can just go in and build things. And that's what
she's doing. And it's overhauled so much with the planets and stuff. It looks really interesting. But
yeah. But yeah, so that and watching that TV that I'm supposed to be embarrassed to watch, I guess. But that's about it. What's been going on with you?
I'm supposed to be embarrassed that you watch it. And I am. I do my duty. Well, I had a lovely breakfast date with someone. And it was just a great time. I can't imagine anything happening more significant than that to talk about in the 4 days, because it was such a wonderful time.
Whoever that was very lucky.
No, they were unlucky because they were out of potato pancakes.
Hey, how come you had to remind me of that traumatic thing?
Right. She said that, and I'm like, he only orders two things. You cannot be out of one.
And I'm probably the only one.
Which is also weird. Is there a big run on potato pancakes at IHOP? What's that about? But yeah, William ordered them, and she's like, "We're out." And I'm just like, "What's he? Short stack? It has to be short stack. That's the only other choice."
That's what I got.
And he did.
That was a very good.
No, it was a good time. It's odd. I simultaneously feel like you and I both, as the years have gone on, share more and more about ourselves on the podcast. And at the same time, we have a broader range of things that neither of us want to share on the podcast. Like, it used to be when we would get out together, we would kind of just talk about the same kind of thing we would talk about on here. And often talk about what we talked about. But now I'm like, no, we got stuff that's like our business.
Yeah.
Which is why, Beth, it may be hard to wrangle an invite one of these times. But maybe we can snag it once. I don't know. But that's our time. We do this for you. Despite the countless times I've told you that we don't do it for you. We do this for you. And that's our special time. TMI?
Maybe you'll have to put that right after whatever title you have.
Right. I went out with a friend the other night. Actually, I had a very good time going out with a friend the other night, and she had to go to the restroom. And so I'm sitting there, and while I'm sitting there, my phone buzzes, and I don't know why, but I just had that feeling. I'm just like, please don't be her texting me from the toilet. Please don't be her texting me from the toilet. And it was her texting me. Although she claims later that was not from the toilet, but it was from the time when she was upstairs in the bathroom. So I was like, that's TMO. But no, I had a nice breakfast out with William. I had a nice dinner out with my friend, other friend. We had a nice supper with most of the neighbors yesterday. Not too much else. We're doing a lot of prepping for vacation because it's happening. Those of you who have listened for a long time, and that's pretty much all of you because nobody listens for a short time, or if they did, they're already gone. No, Trish and I go to Virginia Beach every year, and almost every year, and this is not an exception, she drives out, I fly. So she'll be leaving soon, and then I will be leaving after that. And we will have a neighbor child watching our kitties and mowing our lawn while we're gone. So that'll be fun. We have not been watching a lot. We are finishing up. We're basically finishing up stuff since we're leaving. We're trying not to start new things. So we're finishing up Mr. Mayor and we're finishing up Black Lady Sketch Show. Not much else there. I'm still playing a lot of Final Fantasy. There's not much going on, so maybe we should see what's going on with our listeners via email.
That sounds like
fun. By the way, get on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and get involved. We've been having some really interesting conversations this week. And what I love is you have almost exclusively said old school emoticons and like nothing else.
Old school.
Normally you are deep involved in these conversations and I just have like an occasional pithy joke or whatever, but now I'm involved in that. You just reply and just have smiley face.
Well, you know, Jazz posted this fantastic, which I hope she would, because we were talking about reading and stuff, and she posted this fantastic thing that it had all the Jazz stuff. It had academic stuff. It had her talking about, oh, I was reading comic books in this store that was near the carnival that we were working in. All the Jazz stuff was in it. All the Jazz
and
stuff.
And she got stuck in something. I was waiting for somebody in a worn out top hat to have kidnapped her and gotten on a river barge or some shit.
And like, what can
you
do?
It was very solidly Jazz story. Yeah.
When you get 100, maybe 110% Jazz post, all you can do is smile. That's what I did. It was awesome. It was great.
Waiting
everybody
for
should go read it.
John to show up.
I keep telling her she should write a book. I don't think she's convinced that it would be interesting to people, but I know it would be.
I mean, I have read books that are wholly fictitious and quite entertaining that are absolutely could just be straight up chapters out of Jazz's life.
Well, you know,
and
I
vice
think
versa. I could take some of the posts she's put on the blog and stick them into those books and it would fit just fine.
I think it is hard sometimes for people to think events from their own life would be interesting.
Yeah,
to anybody,
but like, I legit think Jazz might, and she may not remember this, but she might have started as a puppet. Like, somebody might have made a wish on a star and she came to life.
It's possible.
Like,
anything's possible with Jazz.
It's very in that vein. Like, I can't say the specifics because I wouldn't know, but there is some elaborate prophecy or curse that is tied to her birth. I know this for a fact. I don't know the details. I'm certain she probably doesn't either, and that is fine. And it doesn't really matter. None of my business. But there is something. And when the moon is just right and Mercury's retroactive or whatever, I'm telling you, you're going to grow wings or I don't know. Something's happening. The fortune teller predicted it. Jazz wished to be big on the machine and then it's a thing.
Yep.
Tycho Drumming died 10 years ago on this very night. All right. We got one here from Dave of Id. You know, global jet setter and Cameroonian podcast enthusiast, Dave of Id. The subject on this one is Stormers of brains want to know, dot, dot, dot. Which is the better ingredient thrown against the wall for ideas? Spaghetti or Jell-O? And for our international listener, Jell-O is what we all call, what you would call jelly. It is a brand name, at least over here, but it has become synonymous. So. You're my favorite listener, so I want to make sure you understand what's happening. I mean, I'm out of... Okay. I know of the idiom, let's throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
Correct, yeah.
I am familiar with the common kitchen wisdom that to see when spaghetti is done, throw it against the wall, and if it sticks, it is done. I don't know how Jell-O got involved.
I'm not sure either.
And I don't know if this idiom as a brains, I mean, I don't know. When somebody says, let's just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, what do you think that idiom means?
It means brainstorm. It means just everyone's just going to say whatever comes off the top of their head and they're going to write it down. And there's no bad ideas, all that, all those cliches people use when they're brainstorming. And just hoping that if enough people have enough ideas and they just generate them without trying to evaluate them or get in the way of whatever their unconscious mind is throwing out there, that maybe a good idea will present itself somehow in that process.
Fun fact, modern innovative culture, or at least innovative business culture, maintains that brainstorming is actually not particularly effective and that you need certain levels of restrictions to be able to truly come up with innovative solutions because everything has to work with it. In the same way that now they're opposed to saying think outside the box, they're saying the box is actually crucial for you to be able to come up with functional ideas related. That's the only fun fact I have about this, except another one. This is an important one. Although, anecdotally, I have had some success with throwing spaghetti against the wall, and if it sticks, it's done. You know what the best way to tell when your pasta is done?
No.
Taste it. Hmm. Try a piece. If it tastes done, it's probably done. Not funny, just useful.
I mean,
Talking Hat podcast, not funny, just useful.
As analogies go, it's probably spaghetti, Jell-O probably doesn't matter.
Well, okay. See,
as a practical matter, though, it's different.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm staring at a blank wall. I have to come up with interesting ideas, and I can either throw some spaghetti at it or some Jell-O at it.
Right.
Now I'm going to assume, for the sake of this, that the consistency of either is such that it would stick. Because if it's like dry spaghetti or whatever, or it's not, dry, but like not recently cooked, and it wouldn't stick at all, obviously it's not a good choice.
Right.
And if the Jell-O is too firm and just bounces off, wouldn't be a good choice. Let's assume it's all going to stick. I think I'd go with spaghetti.
Yeah, me too.
There's the aspects of it are discrete enough that I feel like it would give me more interesting images.
This is exactly why. Yeah, you really have
to. And the Jell-O would just be sort of an ink blot.
You really have to appeal to the laws of divination more than the laws of brainstorming. And you have to ask, what is potentially going to give you the most information, which will give you the most stuff to derive, right? Because if you throw Jell-O up there, first of all, it's probably going to be one color. I mean, even if you have a Jell-O salad, there's just not going to be, it's just going to be a, like you just said, it's going to be a blob of mostly that color and maybe some texture. But if you throw spaghetti up against the wall, you're going to have some slightly different colors, textures. You're going to have the spaghetti itself making shapes. You're going to have blobs of tomato sauce making whatever.
Oh, see, so in mine, it was just plain pasta.
Okay, but even that is going to give you a more visually rich thing from whence it's kind of like you know, tarot gives you a more rich visual and narrative divination landscape, if you will, than say throwing dice or flipping a coin
or even straight playing cards, because you can translate most of straight playing cards into a tarot divination thing, but they're just generic pictures.
Yeah, the minor arcana anyway. Yeah. So you kind of have to follow the rules of divination and it. Now that said,
I also love the idea that the noodles are the waviest of I Ching sticks. That's when you said divination, immediately I was like, that's what's going on here.
Given, if you're going to look at it that way though, we're picking the spaghetti because we think it's going to give us you know, the richest divination landscape. But what if what you're really looking for is sort of like answer a yes or no question or something a lot narrower. Maybe you don't want a rich divination landscape. Maybe it's like, the reason people pick flipping a coin is because it's a yes or no thing. It's one question. You know, you're not going to draw cards.
Way less cleanup. Like, I mean, no disrespect to those of you who were raised in the tradition and your grandmother from a young age taught you how to throw the Jell-O against the wall and read the thing. But outside of you, I'm sure very statistically significant number of people, why would you throw shit against the wall for yes, no, when coins exist?
Well, I was thinking it would be like the difference between, you know, some really complicated problem you're trying to solve, or you really want, you're dealing with a lot of possible futures and you're trying to narrow it down, versus your problem is not a yes or no question, but something that's,
is this only gonna be slightly good or is this going to be bad?
Yeah, or it's, yes, exactly. Something a little more complicated, where, you know, the pattern is going to still maybe give you a dichotomous answer, but it's a more nuanced dichotomous answer. Like, it'll be really good, or it'll be kind of good, or it'll be terrible, or it'll just be a little problem. Maybe Jell-O can tell you that. But I think only the spaghetti can give you some real insight into what's going to happen with sufficient richness of detail.
Question. Is it my wall? Because if it's not my wall, fuck it. Throw both of them. Go home. It's like, just for the sheer love of the game.
Yeah, I mean, why pick?
I mean, really? I do that anyway now, just on people's houses. But it not for any idea reason, just to do it. You know, it's like, I can't be bothered to buy a paintball gun, so I just use cups of Jell-O and plates of spaghetti. If I have to clean it up, I want the least messy method of divination. So just dry noodles, I think. Maybe dry noodle. Just throw one, see what kind of shape it makes.
I have to admit, when it comes to that kind of divination, you know, augury or tea leaf reading or anything like that, how do people even... if I was going to do divination, I would, like, one of the reasons I might do tarot is because it helps you a lot with the context and the narrative. You know, you don't have to just look at a random tea leaf and make up whatever that means. I mean, it seems it would be really hard to learn divination that way.
In a solo effort, it's all fine because it's what it means to you. Because in theory, your brain unconsciously is developing the form of communication. So how you see it is how it is. What cracks me up is group divination. Because you're dripping the candle wax into the water and see what shape. You're gonna have disagreements. Or the ones I like are the ones, because one time I went to a professional fortune teller. And she just told me shit about me. And I'm like, but it was also my past life. So I'm like, I simultaneously have no input here, but also can't gainsay you because I wasn't like it. I am very much about divination as a solo and generally inward focused thing.
Okay. But I'm saying that I think I'm particularly going to be bad at here's some examples.
Oh, I agree. I 100% agree.
Like people look up at the sky and see things in the clouds. I don't see anything. Or in the stars.
Yeah.
No, I don't see it. I mean, it's just a random whatever. I mean, yeah. Maybe sometimes if a cloud bank really, really looks like something and someone says, hey, that looks like this, I can go, oh, yeah, I guess. But so if I can't do it with stars and clouds, I'm not going to be able to do it with
with the Turing test. I mean, because the problem you're having that I don't think a lot have is just before your creator was going to put the emotion chip into you, he died suddenly and his work was lost forever. And so nobody really knows how to do anything to your positron.
Ah, yes. Brain. The tragic story of Edward Scissorheart right there.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't get finished. I've got scissors for hearts. Yes.
I've got scissors for hearts.
Yep.
Now that is an awesome bedtime story in the making that later gets optioned as a horror movie. Oh, I love that. Oh, that there. See, because we strayed off script here. Dave wasn't asking about divination. He's asking about getting ideas. So many more ideas came out of I have scissors for a heart than anything Jell-O or spaghetti could have done on a wall. Like that was, I could make a whole new book series out of that shit. Like there, that is a jumping off point. Oh, scissors for a heart. Edward Scissorheart. Oh, damn it. Is this going to beat out Jason Voorhees Ranch? I don't think it's going to. I mean, Edward Scissorheart as a concept is, I think Jason Voorhees Ranch is a better title.
Okay. TMI.
All right. Well, we're done here. So get out. No, because we have to do another one immediately afterward. So listen in next week, which will actually be a week and a half. We're record. You'll get it. We're still going to have episodes every Thursday. But for us, time is very different. Kind of like how it is for Jazz. Because of all the weird spells that were cast on her as a child.
And people at the Skinwalker Ranch. Time is different.
And people walking around on skin. the lesser known Annie Lennox B-side. go to aethertheater.com and see all of William's stuff. Did somebody tell me about having looked at your webcomic, or did I dream that somebody told me about looking at your webcomic?
I don't know. Nobody said anything to me.
I have a memory in my head of somebody saying, like, that's a really cool webcomic you came up with, and very him.
And very him?
I mean, that's not the wording, but that was the thing. It very much felt like your creation. And it might have been in a fucking dream because I absolutely cannot remember the context. But it's a good webcomic. Check it out. It's called Stuck. It has a definitive end. go check it out. And also buy his books there and watch our movies. And also buy my book. You still have like 12 days left. No, it's not for you. It's going to be like that. You still have the rest of July to buy it for free. So do it now. And then listen again next week. Excelsior. Huh?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat.
Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.